You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wolf out to set a screen. Pulakitas dribbling right. Broom jumps out. Pulakitas fading three. Got it! He in it again! Pulakitas has given Yale the lead! 73-72, 2:01 to go.
That was courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, and Yale would hang on to the lead, the 13th seed, beating the 4th seed Auburn, 78-76. Yale, the Ivy League, still dancing in March. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. You can find him, Ian Fitzsimmons, at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. So you heard it there. John Pulakitas, he led the way for his team. He made 6 3-pointers. He scored 28 points in this one. And we are thrilled to have the Yale guard joining us right now. And John, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us about riding this high right now. How's it feel?
First off, thank you guys so much for having me. But you hit it spot on. This is just such a blessing. I'm so grateful to be able to have, you know, had the game that I did, and for us to get the win means everything to me in the world. I'm still at a loss for words. This was just an amazing win for our team and our program and all of our fans that came out to support us.
All right, let's go back before we even get into tonight. For people who don't remember, you're at a buzzer beater, right, against Brown just to get here. So if you can, yep, take us back to last weekend and what that moment was like at the buzzer beater to beat Brown to win the Ivy League to get to this moment and the ride you guys have been on since then.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty ridiculous last week for us. Having been down 6 points in the Ivy League championship game with 30 seconds left, you know, we were 30 seconds away from not even being in this position today. I think we've just showed true resiliency these last couple weeks, and I couldn't be more proud of my team.
All right. So having said that, are you a believer in fate? Because that's a buzzer beater against Brown. Fast forward right now, and you're down 7.5 against the SEC champion Auburn Tigers, yeah, and you win by 2. Are you a believer in fate?
I'm not sure if I would say that it was our fate, but at the same time, you know, not to sort of be, you know, use the same term, but just our resiliency as a group. Just these last 2 weeks, we never once thought we were out of the game. We've been on the wrong side of many buzzer beaters this year. So we knew that the game, you know, is not over until the clock hits 0. And that's sort of just been our approach these last 2 games, and it served us well. And we're hoping to continue this, you know, run.
I don't know if it was fate, but I do know that it was your hard work. John Pulakitas, Yale guard, joining us here as Yale defeats Auburn. Yale is still dancing. So you are battle-tested. Obviously, you mentioned it's been a crazy couple weeks for you guys. Do you think that helped you going into this thing and not getting overwhelmed by the moment in the first round?
I think it definitely helps. After that Brown game, having, you know, came together as a unit to sort of stick together, trust each other, and play together through adversity, I think when you're able to win under those circumstances, it definitely brings, you know, the team closer together and definitely builds confidence to be able to continue doing that. And I think that definitely showed today. Obviously, we're aware of what happened last week in the championship. We were aware of the circumstances that we had overcame, and to be able to go out and do it again today, I'm just very grateful and very proud of our team.
What was said coming into this game to forget, you know, looking at the name across the front or the SEC champions and just go out there and whip somebody's butt? What was said and prep coming into this game, because you guys were not intimidated at all, and obviously it showed in the 78-76 win against the SEC champions.
Yeah, I think the main message was just, you know, the importance of believing in ourselves. Obviously, we knew how great of a team that Auburn is, you know, on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. They rank, you know, top 10, top 20 in efficiency on both sides of the ball. But that being said, you know, we played, you know, a lot of great teams this year, specifically naming Kansas and Gonzaga. And we played both of those teams, you know, very close in the first half. And we ended up, you know, blowing both of those leads and losing both of those games. But I think that those two games sort of just showed us as a team that we belong against, you know, SEC champion caliber, high major Power Five schools. And like I said earlier, it was just about believing in ourselves to, you know, not be too afraid of the moment and, you know, come out to Spokane and get the job done. And we did it.
You did it, and you're certainly proving that you do, in fact, belong. John Polikidis joining us here, the Yale guard. So now Yale advances, obviously. You will see fifth-seeded San Diego State in Sunday's second round. Have you already started the prep for that? When does the prep when does the celebration stop, John, and the preparation begin?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we just got back to the hotel probably a half hour ago, and the celebration has certainly died down. You know, we're not satisfied. Obviously, we're very happy to have got this huge win for our program, for our fans, for our alumni, for ourselves, of course. But, you know, the celebration has already concluded, and we're definitely getting ready for this next game now.
You went 10 of 15 from the floor, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. You hung 28 on the SEC champs. You're an Illinois native. One of our producers, Harry Black, played offensive line for Illinois. Curious question, just to rub it right here in Harry's gut, right? Did the Illini even offer you? Did they look at you just by any just curiosity?
They did not. Honestly, they really did not recruit me at all out of high school, just to put it bluntly. Yeah, simple as that. They did not recruit me.
Harry,
they're
sorry,
lost,
buddy.
John.
There you go. They're lost, Bubba.
They're lost.
He's working out
pretty well for you.
He's getting
a
sheepskin from Yale, and he's surviving and advancing, man. There you go, man. There we go.
Degree's going to look pretty good,
the
too.
The Illini's credit, they're a great program. They're having a great year. So not to, you know, of course, not to knock them at all, but yeah, I never got a call from Coach Underwood.
I love it.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yale's
yeah,
where it's
Yale.
At, John. We'll be rooting for you guys moving forward. John Polikidis, the Yale guard. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you guys again. Thank you so much.
Hey, what a performance. 10 of 15, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc, 28 points. And as he said, look, that's why I love non-conference schedules, right? Where that's why Michigan State, every year early on, Tom Izzo schedules heavyweight after heavyweight. Why? To get you calloused and leathered and ready for this moment. And he cited those two games, again, one against Gonzaga, where they are right now in Spokane, where, hey, we're going to go up against whomever we can to get ready for this moment, and the moment wasn't too big for him. And Harry,
No. Sorry,
buddy. There you go, man. You had a sharpshooter right there in your backyard. You're lying.
Hey man, we're doing just fine. You know, all the credit to him, Polikidis. You know, go have fun at Yale. He's going to come out with a much better degree
like
than I have right now. But
that's true. That's a little bit true. He had a career high in this one. That's a career high for him, 28 points. And it's pretty remarkable to go out in the first round of the actual tournament, you know, to go out in March and you're like, you know what, this is the moment I'm going to put up my career high.
You know what's crazy, Amber, and that's why I brought up the Brown game, is we're watching that game, my entire family, and we're pulling for Brown, right? Because they're a 13-win team. Well, they're a 13-win team against the 2-seed in Yale, right? I mean, it's Princeton and Yale every year in the Ivy League. And here's little Brown fighting to try and get in as a 13-win team, losing record. And they get beat on the buzzer beater. And at that moment, I felt so good for the Yale kids because they're supposed to win. And they did win. And I went from feeling badly for Yale and cheering for Brown to now feeling great for Yale and feeling badly for Brown. And that's the power of sports. But as he said, that moment with a NCAA berth on the line helped them get to this point where, in a one-possession game, You don't think that they drew on that? Hell yeah, they did. And they took down the SEC champs 78-76. Remarkable. They sure did. Game.
They are still dancing. San Diego State, we will see if they can continue to do it. This is the second year in a row that the Ivy League has showed up and showed out here in the NCAA tournament. Coming up here next on Amber and Ian, we'll continue to keep you updated on all of the live action, plus a lot of criticism for Coach Cal. What does his future look like at Kentucky? That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Biggest story of the madness tonight thus far would be 13th seeded Yale taking down 4th seeded Auburn. The Ivy League still dancing in March. We just had on the star of that show. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But let's get you updated on all of the live action going on right now. We are keeping watch. Texas A&M leading Nebraska. Been leading Nebraska all game long. Texas A&M up 98-83.
That boy's going final. Yeah, it's going
final. Went final now? Okay, there you go.
It's done. That's all.
See, in my computer screen, there's 24 seconds left. On my television screen, there's 35 seconds left. Ian Fitzsimmons here to tell you, though. That's fine.
It comes from Bristol to Texas to Florida.
Then to Florida. Yeah. So that's just how it works. But Texas A&M representing the SEC. The SEC, it's been a brutal bloodbath of 48 hours for that conference. Texas A&M didn't leave much doubt in this game. They were leading this whole game through.
Yeah. I mean, very impressive performance. And I'll tell you what, Buzz Williams' boys, I saw them in person against Alabama. And they got a hundo hung on him. And he ditched the since that game, he has ditched the patented, you know, three-piece suit look where he, about 3 minutes into the game, he ditches the sport coat. You'll see him in the very nice, sharp, you know, tailor-made vest and suit pants and tie. And that has now been gone. Now it's the three-quarter Texas A&M zip, and they are a different team. I mean, and you're going to tell me coaches aren't superstitious? Yeah, I give you Buzz Williams. Because that damn suit vest has not come back. And they've been a different team. They're a great offensive rebounding team. And they're hot right now. I can't believe this is the same team I saw in person against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. They are a different squad. And right now, they're red hot. And Amber, with Auburn being bounced, right now, it's Alabama who's up right now at the half, 51-34 on the College of Charleston. It's basically Alabama and A&M and Tennessee. That's it. Flying the flag for the Southeastern Conference. That is it off a team or a conference that had 8 bids.
Crazy.
3 are left. Kentucky, gone. Auburn, gone. Florida, gone.
Auburn, both falling today. But yeah, brutal so far for the SEC. We've got 1-seed Purdue in action over Grambling State right now, 48-33. That game, just about 16 left there in the second. And Duke over Vermont, 64-47 as well. So the on the women's side, let's get you updated on some of the women's scores here. Colorado leading the way over Drake, 84-68. We've got Iowa State up on Maryland, 85-79, and Oregon State over Eastern Washington, 47-29. We'll continue to keep you updated on all of the live action here on Amber and Ian. But you mentioned the from the SEC. Obviously, there's been some major upsets for that conference, probably none bigger than what happened to Kentucky and Coach Cal getting beat by an Oakland team that is not located in Oakland, California, which is a little confusing, and things that you only learn if you watch college basketball in the month of March. And Michigan's
geography,
Oakland.
Right? Hey.
Yeah. There you go. They beat Kentucky. And so the question becomes then, what's the future of Coach Cal? There are a lot of Kentucky fans. He's now 1-4 in his last 5 NCAA tournament games. There are a lot of Kentucky fans that are salivating over a potential future without Coach Cal, which seems insane because we're talking about one of the most well-respected and frankly successful basketball coaches in the sport.
But not recent success. And as you know, Amber, when it comes to the SEC, or not just the SEC, but any blue blood program, whether it's basketball or football, you know, if you're a Duke basketball fan or UNC, if you rattle off those stats as far as their head coach goes, 1 for your last 5 or 4, in the NCAA tournament, you have 1 SEC tournament win. You know, he almost hiked his leg, right, on going to into the SEC tournament in Nashville. Like, you know what? If we win this, you know what? It's almost a blasé type attitude when it came to the SEC tournament, almost getting ready for this one, and you get bounced in the first round to Oakland, and you're giving up 10 threes to Golkey, who has a receding hairline. Comes off the bench, goes 10 of 20 from beyond the arc. You give up 15 threes, and you have zero coaching adjustments to go defend the three-point line. Zero. If you're a Kentucky fan, you know, imagine that's an Alabama football fan or an Ohio State football fan, right, or a Duke basketball fan or a Florida Gator football fan, and your coaching staff makes zero adjustments. You're sitting going, what are we doing? And it's not just this year. Like last night in his post-game podium presser, Amber, he's talking about how they have a great young recruiting class coming in. And then a couple minutes later, he's talking about how they may have to reassess and maybe get older because they got beaten by an older team. Well, you had an older team 2 years ago, and you got bounced in the first round by St. Peter's. So it's almost like he's talking in circles right now. And I have the utmost respect for Coach Cal. But if you're a Kentucky fan, you're tired of hearing it. And I'm telling you right now, the vultures are circling around Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director at Kentucky. And it's crazy to say it, right? That is Coach John Calipari on the hot seat in Kentucky? Peter Burns from the SEC Network joined us, an hour and a half ago, and said that very thing. Hell yeah, he is. Absolutely, he is. And I am beyond curious and fascinated to see what happens with Calipari and his future at Kentucky and what the Wildcats do.
I don't think that they end up going anywhere because also where are you going? It can't just be a conversation about should we move on from Coach Cal, who's a legendary coach and wildly well-respected. We had the head coach of Colorado on earlier, Tad Boyle. And I asked him a question, but I'd started out with a reference there to Kentucky. And so he took the first 30 seconds of his answer to talk about how much respect he has for Coach Cal. Greg Campy, the Oakland head coach, he was on Unsportsmanlike this morning. He also exuded that same sort of confidence there in Coach Cal and respect for Coach Cal. Take a listen.
I think John Calipari is one of the, if not the best coach in college basketball. I think he's one of them. As coaches, you go through some ruts. I don't care if you're at Kentucky or at Oakland. There's going to be some years that you just can't get done what you believe as a coach you should get done. Now, at Kentucky, they're going to be a little more cruel than they are at Oakland. And so I'm sure people are coming after him. I mean, I felt awful for him, but if you don't think he wants to win a national championship, and if you don't think he wants to win and hang banners, everybody's wrong. He does. And it's just sometimes you go through droughts. He will get them back, and I wouldn't doubt they win the national championship next year. That's who that guy is, and he's great.
That's the coach who just beat him. And that's the kind of praise that these coaches, even the ones who go against him, even the ones who get the best of him, that's the kind of praise that they have for that coach. Who the hell are you bringing into Kentucky who's respected one half of the amount that Coach Cal is?
Yeah, and there are no words that are going to calm down Big Blue Nation, right? There's nothing that Coach Cal can say. There's nothing that Mitch Barnhart can say.
Base,
yeah, well, that's Alabama football. That's Ohio State football. That's Michigan football. That's Duke basketball. That's UNC basketball. It's Kansas basketball, right?
And it's Kentucky basketball.
It's not a passionate fan base. It's an obsessed fan base. Mm-hmm. And there is a massive difference. But when you get trucked like that, and not just, you know, not just this year, but you go back again, you know, a couple years ago, I mean, it's brutal. And you have better players. You do. I mean, those freshmen at this time of year are now, they're not freshmen anymore. They're sophomores. And Jack Golke, I mean, he talked about it after the game. Like, hey, man, Kentucky may have, you know, All-Americans and NBA players, but I don't give a damn. Here's Golke, who hung 10 threes on them last night.
Obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but you just got to, as a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
And that attitude showed up last night, and that attitude was not there for Kentucky.
Well, that attitude also, the wisdom comes with age, right? And some of that attitude is coming from age and experience. And in fairness to Coach Cal, he did have 8 freshmen out of the roster, 15 there on that team. It was a very young Kentucky team that got bounced by a much older and thus much more experienced Oakland mid-major. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we're going to look ahead to the last couple games of tonight and to the weekend slate. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Amber and Ian is on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking to make some money this weekend, who doesn't like making money? Or even later tonight, then you're going to want to listen up to our next guest, Lance Taylor from The Next Round Live. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Taylor, and you can check out his website, lanceslocks.com. We're going to have some fun with you in a minute, Lance. But first, Wisconsin, James Madison tonight. Ian likes JMU, but who do you like?
Yeah, look, I mean, James Madison, 30 wins, but this Wisconsin team, watching them this past week in Big Ten play, and, you know, they ultimately lose in the championship game to Illinois, a team that, if I could go back and do the brackets, I know UConn looks like a monster, but I think this Illinois team is really, really good with Terrence Shannon Jr. But Chucky Hepburn, A.J. Storr, I think Greg Gard is an underrated coach, and Wisconsin's playing the best basketball right now. I think, to me, this matchup, a 12-5, kind of reminds me of what you got yesterday with McNeese and Gonzaga. And I'm not saying Wisconsin's going to win by 20, but if they hit their perimeter shots, I don't think James Madison's got a shot. So I like Wisconsin minus the 5.5. That game's tipping shortly, so jump on board.
I went the other way in with James Madison. I got it early in the week plus six. So you and I going head to head. And if you have any indication of what we, I mentioned with raccoons and snuggies, you might want to side with LT on this one, even though we've been pretty good with bet to your hands bleed. So yeah, there you go. So LT likes Wisconsin. I like James Madison. Go with what you want. Now, quickly before we get to again shenanigans and whatnot, and then picks on Saturday. Anything late tonight, LT? TCU, Utah State, Grand Canyon, St. Mary's. What do you see?
Yeah, so Grand Canyon, and I'm sure you guys have talked about the Antelopes, and Bryce drew one of the more infamous shots in tournament history. I think it was 28 years ago for Valpo, and hits it
you
against
and I were
Ole
there.
Miss, and I remember where I was. I was at a now-defunct sports bar, and you were working at WJOX with me back in the day, and I had knocked off work early, and I had knocked over like a 24-ounce Bud Light watching the game. I was so excited about that shot, and now he's got a really fun style to watch, and, you know, they've won 29 games. I just think this St. Mary's team, very comfortable in Spokane. I know it's a different venue than they play the Jags in, but, you know, they know restaurants in the area. They're comfortable with that time zone. I think St. Mary's is so good defensively. I like St. Mary's minus the 5.5, but again, it's kind of a big number for the way St. Mary's plays, but
in other words,
I would
knowing you,
I
you're
would
saying,
lay it, or yeah, I would stay away.
Stay away. Yeah, look, folks, I'm going to tell you what LT's saying right there. Knowing his tone of voice and having known him for 30 years as we have, stay away is what he's saying from that one. Don't play it. Just enjoy your bracket. I like TCU plus the 4 tonight, man. What do you think?
I should say this is one of those where I'm lukewarm on it. In the bracket, I've got Utah State. TCU, obviously, a lot more battle-tested, you know, going 21-12 in the Big 12. I think Jamie Dixon is a hell of a coach, but, you know, when he had really good Pittsburgh teams, I got burned. I probably had two Jamie Dixon Pitt teams making Final Four runs, and it never happened. He just seemed like his ceiling was a Sweet 16. And I just say, I think it's a coin flip game, but I lean the Aggies, but I sure am not running to the window to take either one of these teams.
In other words, he's saying stay away. I laid the 4 with TCU. What about coming up on Saturday? Is there anything tomorrow that really jumps out
to you? Yeah, look, I think there is a really good slew of games. But the thing that really jumps out to me, I go back to Illinois, and I said I wasn't going to do this, Ian. I said, look, this Duquesne team, I don't know what happened. It seemed like they were playing possessed in the A-10 tournament, getting the automatic bid there. They have won 25 games this year. But Illinois, Brad Underwood is a guy that can coach. Terrence Shannon Jr. is a guy that can take over a game. I could see him go for 35-plus in this game. You're laying 9.5. I think Illinois wins the game. I think they win it by double digits. So I'm taking the Illini at the 8:40 Eastern tip. At least scheduled for that on Saturday night. But I do like the Illinois. I like the Illini minus the points.
Lance Taylor joining us here.
Yeah.
All right. You also know, before we get to movies, explain to everyone, and I can't believe I'm even bringing this up, but don't ever get into a bracket challenge with Lance. Just don't do it, because when he's evil, he comes up with these awful, 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 I mean, just sick, twisted, demonic bets, and I've lost every one of them. Explain to people, and James Steele, our producer, is going to love this, why I had to eat raccoon and why I had to wear a Snuggie around Birmingham and Tuscaloosa for a week, wherever I went.
Yes. So James, this was back during the Snuggie craze. The first year Ian and I did a show together, our first bracket challenge was when every other infomercial was promoting the Snuggie that doubled up as not only a blanket, but a fashion statement. And I say the latter half very sarcastically. But the deal was whoever lost our bracket challenge was going to have to wear a Snuggie for a full week. Ian was that guy. Not only did he have a blue Snuggie on the entire week, we did multiple remotes and appearances. He had
He sold us at my bar, right, with Trip Rogers and Mike McInerney. We had an appearance in Tuscaloosa at Innisfree. And you know what else? James, you're going to love this. LT goes ahead and books Rashad Johnson, All-American safety, and John Parker Wilson, starting quarterback at Alabama, to join us for 2 hours at Innisfree. You couldn't – there was a line around the corner, and I'm on stage wearing what?
Snuggie with a belt around it. You look like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, it seems pretty tame, though.
I threw that in there for James.
For Star Wars. Right, there we go.
That's pretty tame. I mean, Snuggies are comfortable.
Dude,
was it
hot as hell,
okay,
man.
I mean, I guess that's a downside of it, but Of all the things, I mean, wearing a Snuggie isn't that bad.
Dude, my wife backed Lance. Like, I would go to the grocery store. Hey, don't forget the Snuggie. It was six. So that's one. And screw you, James. It was brutal. It was awful. After the week that they
smelled. Ian, I'm looking now. I got to bring this up because I didn't know if the Snuggie was still in business.
Is
but
it?
Right now, it looks like 2-for-1 that you can buy. They've got Snuggie, a heated Snuggie. They've got different logoed Snuggie. They've got new reversible Snuggies. So the Snuggie is still out there and thriving, it looks
like. Yeah, they've upped their game.
Yeah, there we go. I'm thrilled to hear it because I'll never wear one again. And then why did I eat raccoon?
So Taquillo Spikes actually came in studio, and we were talking to him about food. And he said every Easter, his mom can cook a hell of a raccoon. And so the light went off, and I said, loser is eating raccoon this year. So we outsourced a really good Cajun chef who's now got his own restaurant, his own brick and mortar up in down in New Orleans. And he, Jess Bourgeois was his name, and he prepared a raccoon, which we sent an intern out to trap and kill and skin the raccoon. That is a true story.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then Jess did it jambalaya style, and Ian ate an entire dish, which cleaned out his system. It was the greasiest, most metallic animal I've ever eaten. I took one bite.
You did.
I barely could digest it, and you had to eat the entire bowl, and I still don't feel bad about it.
No, but you should. And James, right now, I'm looking at him, is crying laughing like, dude, that is brutal. I had to go reverse cowboy on the toilet after that raccoon, meaning take the top off the toilet, and both ends are firing. So there you go. There's a visual for you.
You never know if you're going to like it unless you try it, though, so, you know.
I used to like you, James. I really did. All right, quick movie review. You haven't seen it yet, but are you all in on the new Roadhouse? We have to move off of bracket wagers, LT, because I'm starting to sweat. I have a metallic taste in my mouth thinking about raccoons, and I feel like I'm sweating wearing a blue Snuggie. The new Roadhouse, you in or out?
Preposterous looking on the surface, but I'm in based on a couple of facts. My son Jack, I introduced him to the, we'll call it the 1989 classic. I mean, it's complete garbage, the production value of it.
It's a great, awful movie. A great, awful movie.
I'll give you that. And my son even asked me when we were watching it, hey, Dad, have you been to bars like that? And I'm like, this is not what a bar fight looks like. The chicken wire is not a real thing. Beer's being thrown at the musicians, at least bars I've been in. I've never seen this. But it makes for a great story. And you had an incredible character in Sam Elliott and all, obviously the late Patrick Swayze and Kelly Lynch in her prime and Ben Gazzara, a really good actor back in the day. So it was a fun movie to watch. But when you go back, it doesn't necessarily hold up, much like Ghostbusters that I was talking to you about earlier. With all that said, I started to read the reviews because the guy that directed this is a guy named Doug Liman, and his first feature film was Swingers back in 1996. And that really put, you know, Jon Favreau and obviously Vince Vaughn on the map. And he went from that to Go, which I thought was a really good ensemble comedy. So I've been a Doug Liman fan for a while. So, you know, he's directing this. Jake Gyllenhaal, I'm indifferent on Gyllenhaal. He's got your physique in this movie, though, Ian, based on the shirtless pics I've seen of Gyllenhaal. But I had no desire to watch it outside of, again, my son Jack wanted to watch it until I started to read the reviews, and the reviews are this. Like, it's got like a middling, like 72%, I think, as we speak, is the Rotten Tomato score, the tomato meter, which I kind of buy into critics and audience combined. And so it's solid enough that I'm not afraid to watch it. But reading the reviews, everybody says it's three times as violent as the original. So I'm very excited to see how violent this movie is.
It looks like me, and we got, well, never mind. I know those sarcasm. That means that Gyllenhaal's probably got like a 12-pack when I have a keg. There you go.
Put it this way. You would be shirtless down on the coast nonstop, even in said oyster bar.
I hate you. LT, we always appreciate the insight. Again, check him out, lanceslock.com. He's a hell of a handicapper, one of the best in the business. You want to win some cash? Follow him on Twitter also, at the Lance Taylor. LT, enjoy the games this weekend, man. We always appreciate it, especially on a Friday night.
Always funny, and let's win some money.
I'm all about it, dude. Lance Taylor joining us here on Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Now, Amber, will you go watch the remake of the great, awful movie Roadhouse, starring now Jake Gyllenhaal as Dalton?
That is a very hard maybe and probably not. I'm not a huge remake fan. Like, we're all really into these remakes lately.
I'm not.
We can't come up with original ideas. Yeah. Everything's a remake. They're remaking Beetlejuice. Did you see that?
No.
Everything's a remake.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a thing that's happening.
You know,
so,
Bob Menery. Yeah, you know, Bob, I don't know. My physical therapist, Jason Carmen, who rebuilt my foot, introduced us to Bob Menery. This guy's hilarious. You have no idea?
No.
Follow him on what do you call it, the gram, right?
The gram.
Bob Menery does remarkable pseudo play-by-play with expletives on huge sports plays. He has parlayed that into a multi-million dollar business, and now he has a role as an actor in the remake Roadhouse. Not kidding. So, I'll watch it just because the first one was so great and awful. And the same, I mean, there's a remarkable amount of Velveeta melted over this damn thing. I'm in. I'll go watch it. I will.
I won't say no because it's like one of those movies that it's like maybe. Like if it's on my TV, you know, I'm at home chilling. I've got nothing else to do. Like maybe I'll get to it at some point here. But I'm not scheduling in to go see the remake of Roadhouse. That's not happening for me. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we are going to schedule in that tomorrow morning. I've got something to do, and we're going to tell you about it. Plus, far more importantly, we've got to make fun of James Steele because we haven't gotten to his nerdiness from yesterday and why he missed work. That's next year on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ah, yes, appropriate. The Ghostbusters theme. And why would we be playing the Ghostbusters theme? Because our producer, James Steele, needed to see the new Ghostbusters so bad that he had to take off work last night to go see it. I assume last night was the premiere, James?
Yeah, it was the first opportunity I had. You had to go see it Thursday. It comes out. So, yeah, I went. We went and picked up the girls from school, went as a family right after school, and then I went again.
Does this mean your wife also took off work?
No, she was done.
Okay, so it was reasonable. It was after school, after work for everybody else.
It was like 3:45.
So Steele used a vacation day on the first day of March Madness to go and see
it twice.
Not once, but twice.
Not once,
that's
but
why
twice.
I had to take a day off.
A fourth also, make of Ghostbusters.
Right. Yes, there have been many predecessors to this particular
this is the fourth
movie.
One in the series. Yeah.
Uh huh. And you had a popcorn bucket that you put out a picture
so good.
Of yourself. Will, what's
it's
your handle? So, cool. So I don't have to
at jsteele56 on
there you go.
On the gram.
That's what
as
I was going to guess
said, a little 56. Bit earlier.
All right, at jsteele56 if you want to see it. It's this popcorn bucket. It looks like it costs $45.
Oh, $39.99.
Yep.
Worth it or not?
Oh,
goodness.
Every penny. Every single penny.
Worth it?
Worth it, absolutely.
Collectors, popcorn bucket.
Another thing, they had two things there. It was the slushy cup, but it was in the shape of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So I got that too. That was $19.99. And then,
wow.
and then
was
later,
it
and then
was
later.
It every there's never been go ahead there's more sorry I didn't mean to cut you off because apparently there's more
yeah later I went to a different theater because I wanted to see if they had a different popcorn bucket. There's like two of them out there. One of them is Slimer the ghost, the green ghost from the first movie. It's a popcorn bucket that looks like Slimer, and I wanted to see if that one was at the other movie theater. It wasn't, unfortunately. They did have a different cup. It was just a regular cup though, and they gave me a pin It's a Ghostbuster.
This is like when Burger King would give like toys to kids when right, movie premieres
you,
were
Harry.
Coming out.
Yes.
He's got to collect them all.
Well,
100%.
I had to pay for them though. Like a lot.
They still do the Dude, toys for kids, by the way, Harry, at all the fast food restaurants.
You were a C-note deep before the first, you know, before the lights dimmed. You're hundo in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Unbelievable.
What am I supposed to do?
So, and so he's lost cool. even more money. He's taking
it was a ghost trap. It was a ghost trap. And once you put the popcorn in, it was a purple, like, thing. You put the, and then it lit up.
Was it bottomless?
It did light up.
Was it bottomless?
I'm not going to buy that.
Was it bottomless popcorn?
Of course I'm going to buy that.
But what the hell are you going to do with it now?
I eat popcorn out of it.
Was it bottomless?
Was it unlimited popcorn?
Thank you.
No.
That's what I was asking.
No. But it was enough popcorn.
Okay. $40. Because
it
well
was
spent.
It came with a giant tub of popcorn. Like a giant tub of popcorn.
All right. Give us a 20 seconds because we have to get to Amber here and a big, big, big lawyer thing with Marty McGee tomorrow morning. You don't want to miss this, folks. I promise you. This is going to be thoroughly entertaining. Was the movie give us like as far as
he's
ghosts
gonna say
go,
it was good? Yeah. He's so biased.
I've been
it
telling
been the
people
the worst movie ever, and he'd think yeah. it was good.
I've been telling
five
people,
ghosts. Give us one to five.
4.5. They would have really had to have messed it up for me not to like it.
Yeah, he's not the barometer of whether it's a good movie because he was going to like it either way. I've never liked any movie enough in my entire life for me to see it during the day in a theater and then also see it later that day in the theater. Like, there's not a movie on planet Earth I like that much.
I just wanted to see it twice.
I'm with you.
I caught things the second time that I didn't catch the first time.
You can catch that on when you get home on the couch and when it comes out to a cable.
Yeah, but not right away.
All right.
I mean, I haven't even been to the movie theater in over 10 years, so there's no movie that I like rush out the door to see. I could care less.
Oh, I love going to the movie
movies
house.
When they come out.
Are you kidding me? Oh, I love it.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
My wife and kids and I, we haven't been in a while because football season and then. But anyway, yeah, summertime, yeah, we'll go to the movie house at least twice.
Movie house. Yeah. Is that a Louisiana thing? A Texas probably. Thing? I've never heard it called the movie house.
Louisiana, probably. Yeah,
movie there you house. Go. Yeah. All right. You learn something new every day.
Right there. All right. Now, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, at 7 a.m., right? At 7 a.m.?
8 a.m. Eastern.
7 a.m. Central. We're going Southern here, darling. Southern, right? we're going Marty and McGee, SEC Network, TV and radio, right here, ESPN Radio and on the SEC Network. Our lawyer, Amber Wilson, will be on there mm-hmm. discussing the future of the ACC and all the lawyeries involving Clemson and Florida State. And so, just to get our girl acclimated to my people, I have given you three questions. And these are the three.
I thought you were going to give me like hillbilly headlines or something.
Oh, no, that's one of the greatest segments ever
it's
on
so
TV
good.
Radio. It's phenomenal.
It's so, good.
So, hey, we have no flow, no music? No, we're good? All right, here we go. Come on with it. So, one question that I think you should pose. Flip the tables on these two rednecks, right? These are my people, and they will love it. Amber, tomorrow when you're talking lawyer and you get done with lawyering and all that and that counselor stuff, you have to allow yourself some time to pose these three questions. Number one, to Marty and McGee. What happened to the front seat of the truck? Because every now and then, you want to slide over to your bow, right? So what happened to the front seat? Can we bring that back? They will love it.
The bench seat. The bench
yes.
seat in a pickup
yes.
truck is what you're talking about.
Yes. Now, don't go lawyer because you went lawyer.
This is where I ruin it because I know what happened. What happened is insurance happened.
Oh,
what happened is lawsuits happened. What happened is seatbelts happened and laws happened. I do it in my mind.
Stop.
I know what happened.
God. Second question. Are gator bites okay for breakfast?
Now, that's an interesting one. Tastes like chicken, Ian.
It does. I love gator.
Tastes like chicken. It's like a little tougher chicken. It's actually pretty good.
Third one, staying with breakfast.
Maybe sacrilege for me to have ever eaten
gator. This is a big one. You have to answer this one because they're going to throw it back at you. Breakfast sausage or bacon?
Wow, breakfast sausage or bacon.
You're going to get these two hill jacks all fired up. Man, it depends on the mood. If I'm hungover, breakfast sausage. If I'm not hungover, bacon.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of like a I can go either way kind of gal. Probably bacon over breakfast sausage, but
you throw those,
I wouldn't be mad at either.
Throw those three at them, right? And I can't wait to watch tomorrow morning and listen right here on ESPN.
Do you want me to flip on my very first time ever on Marty and McGee? And I will be fangirling because
yes.
I listen to them every Saturday and I've had no interaction with either of those guys. You want me to flip the script on
yes.
them the first time ever?
Yes.
We'll see. 8 a.m.
You'll be
8 a.m. SEC Network, also ESPN Radio.